Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming King awaits. We would like to invite you to SheNet Global's 2017 convention in Atlanta, Georgia. Hear Dr. Judy and Ms. Magda talk about it. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Good morning, Bride. This is your host today, Dr. June, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. Good morning. We are so excited to be hosting this 40 Days Prayer and Fasting Initiative partnering with Dr. Judy Laird Ministries to bombard the heavens for 2017 and for the Bride of Christ and for us to fulfill our destinies in Christ this year. We are hearing from God, giving us strategies. We are praying for strategies. We are praying for the future president-elect. We are praying for our nation. I mean, it is amazing what God is doing today. Today is number 12, and we are using the book by Mark Batterson, Draw the Circle, which is a 40-day prayer journal, and it is taking us literally on a prayer journey. We are all in a journey in this together. We have a prayer team assembled of Dr. Judy Laird, Prophetess Janet Cruz, Prophetess Yvonne Walker, Apostle Stephen Karen Ashley, and Intercessor Karen Duplessis. Give it up for our team today. Yay! Hey, Dr. Judy, how you doing this morning? Is that Dr. Judy or is that Ms. Karen at the 225 number?
Karen, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yes, how you doing, Ms. Karen? You doing okay today?
Yes, ma'am. I'm blessed and highly favored.
All right, Ms. Janet, how are you doing today?
God is good. God is good. Day 12 and onward
yes.
We go.
Yes, now, Janet, doesn't 12 have a prophetic significance? Meaning the number 12.
Yes, it does. The 12 tribes. There's many. Steve Ashley, you have a book there. Get your number of books. Since Dr. June asked about the number 12, if you would, and share the number 12 out of that amazing book that you have called, I forget what the name of it is, but Steve and Karen have an amazing book written by Dr. Troy Brewer, and it gives a biblical perspective of the numbers that is really, really powerful.
Okay,
yes,
go ahead,
Steve.
I was going to say, on our Facebook, on our page, wearethebride.us, we have a page for the prayer initiative, and then every day on our prayer calls, we are keeping a journal. We're writing on there who we're praying for, what we're asking God for, what we're saying corporately, and who was on the call. We are literally scribing what God is doing during this 40-day fast. So that's why I believe today, for some reason, Steve, the number 12 is very significant about today. What is that, sir?
Well, according to Pastor Troy's book and his studies, he said the number 12 is perfect government. His statement in the beginning says 12 is the last of the four numbers God uses to show his perfection. It's the number that shows God is in control and actively ruling over something as a king. When God wants to show us he is ruling and that he has a perfect plan, he likes to use the number 12 in his language.
That is beautiful. Okay, Bride, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Mark Batterson says in the book about number 12. This topic today is sow a seed. He encourages us to sow seeds, and he says in this book that, you remember yesterday, Janet, when we was talking about the audible seeds, how when we speak, we're literally releasing a seed into the atmosphere. It's so funny. We talked about that yesterday because what does he talk about today? How the seeds, we are planting seeds with our mouth. When we speak and declare the oracles of God, believe in God, we are just planting seeds, and it says that they literally go dormant. But we must learn to have patience while God cultivates the seed. He's the one that makes it grow. Janet, do you have some revelation on that about the seed?
Well, I love what he said in his book, on the 12th day. He talks about that, many of us, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, we are, and I believe that Dr. Judy spoke about this yesterday, we're microwave type of people. When we pray, we want an immediate result. We don't want to let that cultivate. We don't want our faith to grow. We just want a immediate result. And I believe that's what this talk of the seed has to take time. That when we used to live out in the country, and there were just acres and acres of land. one of the beautiful things that I remember was once they came and they planted that seed in the soil, being able to watch day in and day out how that plant would begin to spring through the soil. And then day after day, there would be a little growth, and then the next day a little more growth, and the next day a little bit more, until that plant became a full life-giving plant. And it was amazing to watch. But it took all the elements. It took the sun. It took the rain. It took the goodness of the soil. It took many different things to get a good crop for a good harvest. And I believe that that is what God does when we speak and when we pray and when we have our faith is compared to a mustard seed. And it takes time to cultivate our faith. It God is looking for faith pleases God. And you know, faith doesn't just come suddenly. Well, sometimes it can. You can believe God suddenly for something. But you know, most of the time, our faith is like that seed planted. God is going to watch it grow, and the word is going to help it to grow. And it's going to, you know, the word causes rain to come into our hearts, and it makes it fertile. And then all of a sudden, that prayer that we've prayed, that faith that we have stood for, comes into full manifestation. And it's not that microwave. You know, you don't get anything good out of a microwave. I'm just telling you, when you put something in a microwave, it destroys every single thing, every nutrient is destroyed by the radiation that comes from a microwave. God doesn't want, that's not the way God developed us. He wants something healthy and whole to develop, and that's what our faith does. It causes us to grow and be healthy and stable in the things of God, and that's what God's looking for.
Yes, that's a great revelation. Good morning, Dr. Judy. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm excited
about
today.
We are talking about the number 12.
Yes.
We're talking about the number 12 in the book. And we're talking about how he is encouraging us about planting seeds and trusting God with our prayers. Do you have further revelation, Dr. Judy?
You know, it's I've said for years, kind of like what Janet said, especially from a pulpit, America tends to have a microwave mentality. We want to push the button and make something happen. But in this chapter today, what I love is two things that Pastor Mark says. It says, even when we die, our prayers don't. And I want to compare the mustard seed or any seed to when we plant it and the roots go deep, deep, deep. You know, the mustard seed, if you study history, you'll find out that the mustard seed was one of the smallest, but when planted, it had the deepest roots. And he says here, even when we die, our prayers don't. Each prayer takes on a life, an eternal life of its own. But what happens with us, because we're surrounded by so much technology today, we're looking at everything in the fast lane. That's why I compare sometimes people, if they receive a word from the Lord, if they see something in the scriptures, they want it right now. But sometimes, like Janet talked about, the seed has to be cultivated. We want to reap the very second we sow, but that's not necessarily God's way of doing it. Sometimes he'll stretch our faith. But what I love about today are four statements. We need the patience of the planter. We need the foresight of the farmer. And we need the mindset of the sower. And he says here, we worry too much about outcomes, and I love this, instead of focusing on inputs. So I was reflecting today. I'm from Mobile, Alabama, and we had a farm outside the city. And I can remember one time I was actually pregnant with my daughter, Danielle, and Daddy had this thing about his crew planted all the vegetables, fruits, whatever, but he bought all nine of us refrigerators, and the agreement was that every time we went to the farm, we had to, you know, pick vegetables or fruit. And I was in the tomato patch, shall we say, and leaned over, and when I did, I saw a snake curled around the tomato plant, and I left that field running 8 months pregnant. And, you know, I've never forgot that visual, because this is what happens. You see, we will plant, we will pray, we will, you know, speak something, and then the enemy comes against the seed of prayer that we've planted in the ground. Or maybe we've sown a seed financially, you know, trusting and believing that when we sow, we'll reap. Or we will be kind to someone with an act of love, you know, and then the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, to make us want to back up, to make our faith waver, to turn around and destroy what we've planted. And we're like I was 40-something years ago. We take off running in fear. And I want to say today, there is nothing to fear. I believe that there are prayers that our grandparents and our parents and relatives that we never knew about prayed. How many of you on the line today are grandmothers? And
yes,
you've taken that child, that grandchild, maybe when he was first born, and you held him and you said, you know what? This child is going to do powerful things in the kingdom of God. And maybe our grandparents held some of us, and the seed of prayer that they prayed over us, even though they have not seen the great things that God is doing in June's life and in Karen's life and in Yvonne's life. I'm talking about loved ones that have gone on and been with the Lord. You know, I believe that our the seed of prayer, which is so important during these 40 days, I believe that there is soil that and seeds that we're planting in, especially in unity, that are going to manifest in the generations to come.
Amen.
So today, yeah, our faith should be strong as we begin to think about what every seed produces after its own kind. So we've got to have those seeds cultivated. We've got to, you know, my father had a green thumb. Karen Duplessis has a green thumb. And that's an old saying. But what it means is they're just gifted to see something flourish and grow. And that's the way every Christian should be. As
yeah,
I believe the seeds that we're sowing, we're taking the word of God and we're sowing it. And we're praying it, and we're going to see results. So I'm excited about today.
Yes. Now, Dr. Judy, on the line today, we have Steve, Karen, Janet. We have those three on the line. I just wanted you to know who was on the line with us today. Okay, Steve, could you share with Dr. Judy what you said in that book about the number 12? Listen to this, Judy.
Yes, okay, let me pull it back up. It says, number 12, this is from Pastor Troy's book, The Numbers That Preach, and he said, the number 12, as most of us know, is for perfect government. And he said, 12 is the last of the four numbers that God uses to show his perfection. It's the number that shows God is in control and actively ruling over something as king. When God wants to show us that he is ruling and that there's a perfect plan, he likes to use the number 12 in his language.
Amen. I totally agree with that. In fact, in my book, as I've been just writing every day and just do a little journaling, I said, real prayer warriors understand the governmental authority because we've been given dominion to rule. So absolutely, it's very, very significant. So maybe today in one of the things Janet, that we can pray about is we can awaken those that have doubted in looking at their particular situation. Let's release across the airways, June, authority in Jesus' name.
Yes. Okay,
Janet, why don't you pray?
Go ahead, Miss Janet.
Thank you, Father God. Lord, there are those that are listening this morning, Holy Spirit. And Father, they may have actually, their faith may have wavered in different areas. But Father, we put ourselves in agreement this morning that they are not watching by chance or coincidence. They're not listening by chance or coincidence. God, you have ordained this day. Father, we thank you for the authority that you've given us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray and decree and declare that those that are listening will understand the authority that heaven has stamped in their hearts through the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that, Father, your word is so full and so powerful, and it is the very seed that's when we speak it, Father, it will not return void. Your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you please, and it shall prosper in the very thing that you've sent it. Father, I pray that you will reveal, bring a revelation to your people this morning about faith, about your word, about sowing and reaping and planting, Father, and the authority that that carries in the earth. So, Lord, I thank you that those that are listening, they have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive today, and they will be changed from glory to glory, even through this broadcast, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Now, Dr. Judy, you know you was talking about you writing that book. I'm going to share a revelation that the Lord gave me. Do you mind, Dr. Judy?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
About authors and seeds, the Lord revealed this to me, being that I have a publishing company, I believe, but he told me that when he gives a book to a human, you know, I compare all the trees, that he downloads a seed from heaven into our tree. That's a book is a seed. When we pray and cultivate that seed and we ask the heavens, you know, give us the words to say, because the book has already been written in heaven. God is just wanting it to manifest on earth. So we are impregnated with that vision of that book. When we pray and we start writing and we start obeying the Holy Spirit and we start to release that book, we will be tested on everything that is in that book. The devil wants to come in and literally steal that seed from your womb. He wants to take it out and remove it so that book is not released on the earth. And I have seen authors over the years be taken out while they're writing a book on the very subject they're writing on, because the enemy comes after them to steal, kill, and destroy. So when the author pursues and continues going and obeys the Lord by writing that book, they, right there at the end, it's like giving birth. They feel all this pressure. Everything is so tight. It's like, I can't wait to get rid of this book, just like when you're 9 months pregnant. But when you birth the book out, when you finish, you pass the test, you release that book, when the book comes out, it is then birthed onto an earthly tree. Books are made out of trees. Y'all know there's millions and billions of books in heaven we're going to be reading throughout eternity. So these books are released on the earth. Your seed is literally produced onto another tree. And every person, human, that reads your book, your seed is literally being implanted into them. And God has the responsibility of that child. Once you release that book, God has the responsibility of what he does with it and how he cultivates it and how he releases that seed to the earth. So when someone's reading your book, your seed, the revelation that God gave you, the reason he wants you to impart it, is because that goes into another tree and God is the one that cultivates it. Then when that person shares your book, it is releasing you, a part of you, everywhere you go. And I also tell authors the greatest thing after you struggle and fight in the spirit and everything over this book and you release this book is when you hold your book for for the first time. It's like holding your baby. It really is. And that's why authors are so sensitive about their books, because it is literally a part of them. Isn't that an awesome revelation about a seed?
Absolutely. And I want to confirm what you're saying. For many years, as I have watched the progression of answered prayer in my own children's lives, I've had this book on the inside of me. And it's amazing that we would be reading, you know, this particular chapter. My mother passed several years ago, but 2 years ago on Christmas, we had a family meeting where her jewelry and some things, that some of her possessions was released. And I'm one of nine children. And my twin sisters, Jean and Joan, said, "We've got something, Judy, we want to give you." And it is a book with a big tree on the front of it, and then a picture of an antebellum home, which was my great-grandparents. And this book is entitled Under the Columns and Under the Trees. And it is the legacy of my great-grandparents who loved God with all of their heart. And what was so amazing was in this, they had a family reunion in 1996, and I was not in a position that I could attend. So all of the grandchildren, which my mother was a granddaughter, and all of the children of my great-grandparents that were still living attended this family reunion. But the purpose of the family reunion was to have all the grandchildren write about Mama and Papa, which were my great-grandparents.
Wow.
And it is amazing to see the lineage and the legacy. And what was so amazing to me, June, was things that my mother wrote that she never expressed because of a time of brokenness in her own life. And it took her all the way down until she was almost 89 years old to rededicate her life. So when she wrote this book, her article in the book in 1996, one of the first things she said was this: Mama and Papa loved God only above children and grands. And
aww.
Then even wrote that their favorite song was The Old Rugged Cross. And then that she reflected on good memories that as a child or as a family, we never even heard her talk about. And when I read this book, one of the things that stood out to me, and everyone that's on this line can confirm that what I'm saying is true, every place I go, I'm always provided a place to stay. I'm in Atlanta. I've been offered a two-story home to use as long as I want. Beautiful. In my travels, people offer, you know, they from the palace to a squatter camp, there's places that I've slept. But what I found out about my great-grandfather, and this was a seed that was sown, because seeds also produce legacies and generational blessings. Every traveling evangelist that came through Chilton County in this huge home, the visiting evangelists or preachers, they had a special place for them to stay. And I believe that my great-grandfather sowed a seed that has impacted my life.
Yeah,
and that's
maybe.
Why the seeds that we sow are so important, whether it be seeds of love. You know, we have this expression, it's when you hold your hand out, it's not always to take. You should release. We were talking about this last night. You should release more than you take in. You should release more, and then you're going to take in. But it's more important to extend your hand of love, of patience, all the fruit of the Spirit, material. Pray sometimes, you know how my children came back to the Lord, and they were not in a good place. Stood on God's word, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, if you will be there for other people's children, I will make sure that there will be others that will come and witness to yours. And when both of my sons were away from the Lord with another friend, they're in New Orleans drinking, doing all kind of stuff. But guess what? They went down a dark alley to go to the restroom, and an elderly lady walked out on her balcony and said, hey, guys, come on up here. There's a restroom here. And these boys had no idea. They go up there, and it's an old-time Pentecostal prayer meeting with the piano being played. What was that? I believe the effectual, fervent prayer of a mother that was home bombarding the heavens and trying to minister to other children. That seed of my prayer kept my children from no telling what that night.
Mm-hmm.
So there are seeds that reach every one of us on this line. We're trusting God.
Yeah.
For those that tune in, for your prayers to be answered, as Prophet Janet spoke, we've been given seeds of authority. Do you really, not seeds of authority, we've been given words of authority and dominion. Do you think it's any accident that this powerful man of God, Steve Ashley, would be on the phone and talk about authority? So I think today the words that we speak of authority over any given situation, I believe we're going to see those prayers because we're putting our faith together. The people on this prayer call are not just on it because they don't have anything to do. Trust me. They're on it because they care and because they are believing and standing that light's going to disperse darkness. You may have a financial situation where you need a breakthrough. You may be on this line and you need somebody to pray over a physical healing. I've been receiving about a young boy by the name of Dakota that needs a miracle in his body. I've been receiving, as the different ones are listening or hearing about this, they're trusting God for a breakthrough in their ministry. They don't want us to just speak something. They want us to pray something and see it take place, June.
Yes, before we do anything else, I have a missionary on here from Belize. Y'all know Pastor Carolyn Sism. She is in Houston, Texas. She is over in Belize with this missionary named Cheryl McElroy. They don't have much internet time, so while they're able to be on here watching the broadcast on Facebook, would you pray for them, Dr. Judy, for the mission that they're doing over in Belize and for Ms. Cheryl's financial provision for her ministry over in Belize?
I'm glad that you asked me to pray. I have a word for Pastor Chisholm. I saw her her Facebook post, and I want to tell her that she is on a mission. She's truly on a mission from God, and that she is going to impact the region where she is. And so we want to undergird her. We want to pray for this pastor. In fact, if there's anyone that possibly would want to sow a seed to help this woman of God that needs help, we are willing, able, and ready. It's not the size of the seed, it's the size of the heart that releases the seed. But let's pray that there are miracles, signs, and wonders, and that the anointing that's on these two women of God, as they have stepped out by faith with everything that's going on all over the world, they have no fear. They're in the right place at the right time, and the breaker anointing that will set the captive free. You know, the Word of God says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. So everything that needs to break loose, whether it's salvation, whether it's healings, whether it's a word from the Lord, whether it's, I shared last night, a time of being in South Africa feeding in a squatter camp, and the soup ran out, and I walked away crying because I'd never turned a child away. And I said, God, I said, you are the God that multiplies the loaves and the fishes. And the 100-and-something children had food, and the soup didn't run out. Where did the soup come from? I don't know. But woman of God, as we pray for you and your team, we are saying the miraculous will take place. We will say those that are bound demonic with demonic strongholds, they will be set free. God has called y'all for such a time as this. He's called y'all to the nations. You're at the right place. And I just hear the Holy Spirit saying, every place you step on the ground, you will go on and you will take new territory, both in the natural and in the spirit. And I see a facility, a building being released to release other the word of God, to release help, to release material, to release food, to release the dream in your heart, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. She needs a building. She's in a building right now that the ceiling's caving in, and, you know, it's horrible condition. So I thank the Lord for releasing that to her. I thank you, Cheryl and Miss Carolyn, for tuning in this morning. God bless you and everything you're doing there.
Amen.
All right. Dr. Judy, what do you think about what he said about the speed of a seed? Wasn't that awesome?
The speed of the seed is unbelievable. You know, when he first started at the beginning of the book, and I did some research about the seed, when he spoke about the sequoia, I guess I'm pronouncing it right, tree, that these are these huge trees, and they're like the redwood trees. And they, a little bitty seed, Janet, this is so amazing. A little bitty seed, Steve, a little bitty seed that is planted in the ground that produces a tree in the circumference of 300 feet. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine.
Can you imagine? And he states in here that is the power of a single seed. It will produce one seed of this particular tree. A little bitty seed you plant in the ground has the ability, the capability of releasing 400,000 more seeds.
Wow.
One seed.
Amazing.
You know, I never will forget one time. There may be someone on the line that needs a financial breakthrough. And I had just started ministering for a ministry out of Memphis, Tennessee. And I've lived by faith since 2002. And God has always supernaturally, when I'm least expected, and there are some of you that are on the line today that need a financial breakthrough. And I'm trusting God with you. June, Janet, Steve, Karen, all of us have been in places where we felt like our back was against the wall. But God, which supernaturally, because of the seeds that we had sown in the past as well as in the present, would produce a seed. And I'll never forget it. It was the first time I ever had a $10,000 seed that was given to me, and I almost accidentally threw it in the garbage. And I learned from that lesson that we have to, yes, we sow seeds, and when we sow and when we give, it shall be given back to us. But we also have to use wisdom with seeds that are released and the blessing of the breakthrough when it comes back to us. Think about a plant. Is Karen DePlessis on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Karen is a florist. She knows all about planting. She's got this green thumb. Express to those that are online the proper way we fertilize a seed to produce the best flower or the best plant or the best fruit or the best vegetable. explain how we nurture, and let's compare it to the scriptural way of how we handle sowing a seed.
Planting or even propagating a plant. Let's say, for instance, the cactus plant, the Christmas cactus plant. You can break off a leaf or two and stick it in some moist soil, potting soil, or if you have good soil where you're at with some sand in it because it is a cactus. You place it in there, or you can put it in water, and you'll soon see the roots coming out of it. I've planted a friend of mine that has been staying here a while, Diane, and I planted a little mini garden in the back. We've got carrots coming up. We have some herbs, but some bit the dust because of the frost that we've had, our winter this past weekend. Seeds, tomato seeds, they are amazing. You do have to fertilize. Vegetables need a different fertilizer, 888 for most of your fertilizer. And then on flowering plants, I like to use Cosmocote. It has a different chemical in it that will just burst the blooms out there. I mean, you could see within 2 days the leaves will stand up straight like they're paying attention to the good Lord. It's like they're soldiers standing up. And if you don't water, you have to water properly and not overwater, that it's too soggy where their roots will die, because a lot of plants don't like a lot of water. And when God puts in us the seed of his word, we nourish it ourselves by praying and thanking God for it and meditating on each word that he has given us. You do a study on the word seed in the Bible. It's mentioned, I can't tell you how many times. I don't know, but I know I haven't run out of looking at scriptures with the word seed in it. And I pray that everyone on the line and on the TV and on the Facebook would listen to God's planting seed. Anytime you say thank you to someone, that's a seed of love. That's a seed of thankfulness. Anytime you show somebody compassion, that you know that they're going through stuff, you go up and give them a hug or pat them on the hand and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Tomorrow's a new day. Or today, just look up. God will not leave you where you're at. So seeds are very important.
Well, Karen, what I'm hearing you say is that each type of seed, like each breed of seed, requires a different type of care and nurturing for that specific unique seed to produce the way God originally meant it to produce. Am I right?
Yes, yes. Some seeds like a lot of moisture, some just very little. It's a trial and error unless you look up in the books on agriculture or you know, planting. They have a lot of books out in your gardening section on how to plant, when to plant. And the Farmer's Almanac is wonderful for growing vegetables and fruits.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my point is how it's just like us as humans. You know, we're all unique. And God knows exactly how to nurture us and to care for us. Right, Dr. Judy?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's so amazing about what you're saying is that when he nurtures, who is our example? Who is our example? He is our example. And that's why this 40-day journey of prayer and consecration is very important, because anytime you seek him, and we've quoted the scripture from Matthew almost every day, you know, seek, ask, knock. That's what we're doing. You know, when you go to, and the attitude of the heart is very important as we approach him. And it's just like, you know, the parable of the good seed. Prophet Janet has a revelation on counterfeit seed. And the Lord spoke to me many years ago, an uninformed believer. We've got believers on the line. When you're uninformed about what the Word of God says, then you may handle something that's not exactly right. Janet, explain what a counterfeit seed, you know, what you were, the Lord spoke to you. Would you please express that? Because we're going to release good seeds today.
Amen. As you were talking, because I do so much study in the organic, you know, with organics and different things, as you were talking, Dr. Judy, the Lord said, remember that GMOs are a seed. And what GMO stands for is genetically modified organism. Now, understand that the good seeds that are sowed are God's seeds. But there's also a counterfeit. So anything that God does, the enemy always has a counterfeit for. So a GMO is a genetically modified organism. That's a seed that is planted. But it does, it has no nutritional value. It does nothing for the body, absolutely nothing. And the Lord gave me this. It showed me it's an inferior seed. So it's a low-grade, poor-quality seed that has no nutritional value. Well, in the same way, you know, we have to be very careful. We have to know, you know, the Word of God says, know them who labor among you. And we stand on the Word of God. You know, we need to know what seeds are being spoken by others that are in our lives, number one, and that are speaking over us and over our families. What are we speaking? Are we sowing good seeds? Are we speaking the Word of God, which is the good seed? I want to read this because in John 12:24, it says, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, which is a seed, falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And I was thinking about that. Who was the perfect seed that was sown, that died and was resurrected for our salvation? Jesus Christ. He was God's perfect seed that died, was buried or planted. I mean, I know that illustration may be a little far for some to understand, but it's truly God's perfect seed that was sown for our salvation, our lives, to bring forth thousands upon thousands upon thousands of souls for the kingdom of God. So, you know, we just need to understand that it's very important that we are speaking the word, which is the best seed possible, that we are sowing in, you know, and that we, and let me just tell you a counterfeit seed, okay? And some of us have been guilty of that, and we've had to go back and repent. But a counterfeit seed would be a seed of control, a seed of manipulation, even in prayer, and that we speak, that we say that is the real thing. That would be considered a counterfeit. There's the other side, which is the side of the enemy. That what do they sow? What do the witches and the demonic? What is sown? Those are counterfeit GMO seeds. They grow. Trust me. But we have the real seed, which is the Word of God. And greater is Jesus Christ in us than the enemy in the world. That's why it's so important that we speak and declare the Word of God. His Word will not return unto him void. We need to speak the Word, because when we declare the Word of God, it goes into the atmosphere. And the atmosphere itself, the angels come and they assist what we speak when it's a good seed sown out there, and they begin to do what is necessary. And our faith, as we plant that seed out in the atmosphere, as that word goes out and we plant it out there, the angels come and assist. You know, the Word of God says, one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. And I believe that those are seeds that we speak forth and declare in faith that are good seeds, that are organic seeds, that are the best seeds. Speak God's word out in faith.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You...
And I've just got to make a point, Dr. Judy, if you don't mind, about President-elect Trump. If y'all watched his speech yesterday, it was so amazing. I was like, I have never been so proud of a president in all my life. Listen, he is sowing seeds into our nation. Listen to what he's doing. Not only is he not taking a salary, not only did he not take money for his campaign, he paid for it out of his pocket, but he announced yesterday by his attorney firm, his law firm, that he is hired to help him to separate his business from his office. He has totally separated. So what he did is he laid his seeds, his babies, and his businesses. Think about this, all of us that are ministers that have worked so hard to birth in visions, birth in businesses, birth in what we're feeling like God's led us to do. Imagine being Trump with this billion-dollar empire. And then he says, I love this nation so much that I am setting all that down, giving it to my kids, hiring a law firm to be held accountable to, so that I can be ethical and have integrity in the office so no one can question my desires to serve the nation. Okay, so then he laid that down, put in the proper things that he needs to do to separate himself, and then they made this crazy announcement. I could not believe it when I heard it. But he said that he is going to give the profits of his hotels that foreign money gives to his hotels back into the U.S. Treasury to help with the debt in the nation. I'm like,
awesome.
You got to be kidding. He is giving profits from his own business to back into our nation. I'm like, look at the seeds he is sowing. And I want to point this other thing out. Do you know that he is wanting to leave a legacy? He's already accomplished everything in his life he could accomplish. But now he wants to do his ultimate feat. I believe before the Lord takes him home, he wants to leave a legacy in this earth as President of the United States and be the best one that the world has ever known.
And it is amazing what he's saying. And this is such a seed to be sown. Jim, turn to page 76 in Draw the Circle. And I would like for you to read something, if you would. I'm going to start with where it says this is both bad and good news. This is we're talking about good seed. We're talking about counterfeit seed. And then after you read this, the rest of the page where it starts, this is both bad and good news.
Yeah.
Steve has a report about an experience of good seed. So would you read these couple of paragraphs, June, because they are amazing. I mean, they make tears want to run down my cheeks, and they make my faith skyrocket. But could you read that where it starts, this is both bad news and good news, because this is what we're talking about, the cultivation of a seed, what we have to do, and how we make things grow. In other words, what do we do when we release that seed? Could you read those couple of things?
Yes, it is exciting you're asking me to read this because I have almost all of it highlighted because it is powerful. It says, this is both bad news and good news. We cannot break the law of sowing and reaping any more than we can break the law of gravity. No farmer would plant beans and expect to harvest corn. If you sow kindness, you will reap kindness. If you sow generosity, you will reap generosity. If you sow love, you will reap love. All of us go through times of spiritual, relational, or financial famines. It seems like the harvest will never come, and the temptation is to stop planting. But my advice is simple. Sow a seed. Keep praying. Keep obeying. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep serving. If you keep sowing the right seeds, the harvest of blessing will come in God's time and in God's way. And then he says, if we do the little things like they are the big things, then God will do the big things like they are the little things. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. I love that. And I want to go back to one point about Pastor Mark Batterson. For 13 years before he ever wrote his first book, the book, the dream, the everything about it was inside of him. And
right.
Just like when we sow seeds in the natural, when we plant a garden, when we plant a seed, when we plant spiritual seeds, when we plant material seeds of giving, there is an appointed time. And possibly sometimes we expect God to do something before its timing. And so we waver in our faith and give up and say it's never going to happen. Or I've seen many people in the body of Christ get bitter. And bitterness and unforgiveness manifest just like fruit, love. That's why the word says pray for your enemies. I want you to know that in God's timing, and so
yes,
you may be listening to this and you may be saying, yeah, that's easy for them to say because God's moved. God is still, there are prophecies that have been spoken over my life. There are dreams that I have. One of my dreams, and I've had it for over 18 years, one day I will have an empowerment center for women. Am I bitter at God because it hasn't happened yet? No.
Right.
I'm just praying that much harder because it has to be in the perfect city with the right finances, with the right team, and my dream will come to pass.
Yes.
And so I want to tell you that you cannot waver, and it's just like what she just read. If you sow kindness, you will reap kindness. If you sow generosity, you will reap generosity. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. And the most important thing is to keep your heart in the proper power of posture with humility, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Because you cannot trust God to produce a seed if you've got a heart problem. And so, Steve, share about a good seed and your experience so we can stand on the word.
Amen. Amen. And I appreciate so much all that's been said. And in fact, Dr. June, I want you to know, you know, let's be real here. Sometimes, you know, we need correction. And I was reminded when you were talking about the book and how you shared that. Dr. Judy had prophesied that the Lord had given me a book, and I've been sitting on that seed for way too long. And so I just want you to know that how you shared and what you shared just kind of really stirred me on. But I do want to say, you know, when you're talking about that, Dr. Judy, about the seed time, Pastor Troy Ruhr said in Genesis 8:22, he's, you know, Scripture says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest. And he said, so many times people do get impatient. He said, take that word seed time, split it up. It is seed, time, and harvest. And so we have to kind of keep that in mind. And so, you know, when we see people at church, you know, we see them in all their glory, and we don't necessarily know the story, you know, that got them there. And what I'm reminded of as far as with the seeds is that, you know, in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, it talks about the parable of the weeds and the seeds, the weeds being sown alongside the good seed and so forth. And I just briefly share, you know, in a, not really a testimony of things, but when I was born into a family that was abusive. I didn't, alcoholic parents and all these sort of things. And again, that's a story for another day, but it was basically all throughout my childhood, the seeds that were sown were nothing but seeds of, you can't make it, you can't do it. My adopted mother actually said to me, she said, you know, I could have bought a bag of groceries and done better than I did by buying you. And all those seeds were seeds that were meant by the enemy to bring destruction and to bring death and to bring all that. But God took me out of that situation, put me into a place called the Masonic Home. And where did I land up? But I landed into a cottage with a fire-breathing, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking woman of God who did not do anything but just tell me how much God loved me, how much that my life was not a mess, that it was not a wreck, and began to sow seeds of life and sow seeds of hope. And as a result, there came a day when I was at the home, that I just said, if this God is real, if you are really real, then show yourself to me, and I give my life to you. And it started a journey. But the point I'm trying to make is that there are seeds that are being sown in so many people's lives. There are bad seeds and there are good seeds. And the question is, where are you going to put your attention? If you fertilize and water the bad seed, that's the harvest you're going to see. I made a choice, and I believe so many people are hearing this, and they're going to make the same choice. They're saying, no, I choose to receive the word of God. I choose to hear the word of encouragement. I choose the seeds. That's where I'm putting my attention. That's where I'm watering. That's where I'm fertilizing. And if you will do that, no matter what the enemy has said is going to come to pass, he's a liar. And God says, no, I have come that you have life and that more abundantly.
Yes, amen. Now, listen, all of you prayer team, I have someone on Facebook that has a question about exactly what you're talking about. If someone would please answer this. Her name is Caroline Woodard, or Woolard, and she said, what happens when you soak a seed? God told her that he was soaking seed. So would you mind someone explaining to her what that may mean in the natural?
You use the terminology, she soaked a seed?
God told her that he soaked a seed.
I'm sorry, it was distorted. Say it again.
God told her that he soaks seed.
Well, in the natural, Karen could probably confirm this. I remember many times about plants. You know, a lot of times we'll take that seed and put it in water and sprouts will come forth and a plant will grow. Karen has a plant in her kitchen window. And the last time I was there, I looked in the water and I saw the sprouts, the roots beginning to grow. Water to me, if the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I would interpret it as, what is the word of God? What are the rivers of life? You know, it all is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes before we sow a seed, we need to soak in the presence of God. And I would begin to look up the definition of soak and see how roots and seeds are produced. I remember when my mother used to take avocados, and she would take the seed of an avocado and it hasn't worked for me, but it always worked for my mother. And she would almost split it to a degree and put sticks in it and put the bottom part of the avocado seed in water. And then all of a sudden, the roots would begin to grow and it would produce a plant with the avocado itself. So, Karen, what do you think? I believe that the Holy Spirit is instructing this woman. You know, what is the word of God? I believe you're going to take seed and you're going to soak it in what the word says that it will produce. Could you give us an example, Karen?
Yes. I can remember my mother soaking okra seed. She planted the garden for us. And she would soak okra seeds because they have a hard kernel. It's like our hearts are hard. God has to break open to let the word of God come in and fill us. Soaking means also putting on praise music, soaking before the Lord. You may just sit down or you may lie on the floor prostrate, but listen to some praise music, gentle praise music, and just let it soak into your mind. And also there are the Bible you can get on cassettes, on CDs, and let that soak while you're driving or in your home, soaking in the word of God. It will refresh you. It will take your mind from being polluted with the world, and it will bring you revelation of God's love for you, his care for you, and his compulsion to say, look, you are worth something. You're not a nobody. You are mine. You are bought with a price. You are my beautiful child.
Another thing that you would want to remember, in comparing it to what she asked about what does, you know, a seed soaking. A lot of times when you soak in the presence of God, this is one thing that if you're, it's a discipline to allow you to decrease. And when you decrease and he and the Holy Spirit increases in you, you're giving him control. In other words, you're saying, not my way, not my will, but your will be done. And what is so important with the busyness of life today, years ago, June, remember how we everybody had CDs out about soaking in the presence of God. But what that actually means is turning your phone off, turning your computer off, turning all types of communication, going in the war room, if you will, and just sitting. And what happens when you get still before the Lord? What actually happens is your faith rises up to a place that you can believe no matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy is saying to you, God's word is going to overpower you and produce, have your seed produce its fruit. And so I believe that all of this is for a very, it's more, I appreciate this lady asking this question because it gives others an opportunity. If you don't get quiet before the Lord, you will doubt. If you don't take time to soak in his presence, every morning I try to have a discipline no matter where I am. I want the worship on. I want to get quiet. I used to get up a very high energy person and blah, blah, blah. It's a beautiful day. I don't do that anymore. I want to wake up. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to get quiet. And it's not me asking for stuff. It's me getting quiet so I will, my ears will be attentive to him. And every time that happens, either revelation comes, faith comes, joy comes, all the attributes of what happened when you get quiet in his presence. And to me, that's what soaking is. I believe that he wants you to soak. And even the seeds that you've sown in the past or the seeds that God's going to give you in your time of soaking are going to produce a harvest.
Wow. Amen.
Yes, and amen.
Amen.
You know, I would, if I could share this real quick, because I think this is so powerful. You know,
it
thank
is.
God for technology. But one of the things that I just looked up, soaking seeds. And online it says this, jumpstart your seeds by soaking them. Doing it that way significantly decreases the time of germination.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes. Janet, do you mind saying that one more time about soaking the seeds before planting? Can you read that one more time?
Absolutely. It says, jumpstart your seeds by soaking them. Doing it that way significantly decreases the time of germination. That's pretty powerful. And I just believe it goes right along with what Judy was saying. You know, when we soak in the presence of God, when we get up and we spend time with him, and we just soak in his presence, you know, time just seems to speed up. Things happen that we would have never thought could possibly happen because it's in God's timing and not our timing. So I think that's very relevant, what this precious woman shared. I just think that was powerful to even ask that.
I do too. I think it's great. Yes, Lord.
Are there any more prayer requests today, June?
Let me look at my list. One moment. Yes, I do. This lady that's watching online right now, her name is Lois Britt. We prayed for her about one issue the other day. And isn't it wonderful, team, that we have faithful viewers? We have people out there that are partnering with us in this 40-day prayer challenge. But anyways, Miss Lois asked that we would pray for her grandson and granddaughter for wisdom from the Lord. Miss Karen, would you mind praying for that, please?
Yes. Father God, we come before you and praying Mrs. Lois' petition to pray for her grandson and her granddaughter for wisdom.
Yes.
Father, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. On the seven, one of the seven spirits of the Lord is wisdom. Father, we thank you for the gift of wisdom that you have given each one of us. Father, it is a gift, and we thank you for it. And we ask that you would touch these children, the grandson and the granddaughter, Father. We pray for all children and grandchildren in our nation right now that they would have wisdom in what they're dealing with at school, with what they're dealing with the public, and fighting peer pressure right now. Father, give them the spirit of wisdom right now that in their everyday life they will know what to do, where to go, what friends they should keep, and which friends they should let go of. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that these children will be empowered with wisdom because you said we have not because we ask not. And, Father, we are praying right now. We're going boldly into the throne room of grace right now and praying for this grandson and this granddaughter for wisdom. We thank you in advance in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, Steve, do you mind praying for this lady? Her name is Romy Mobley, and she wants us to pray for her husband, Mark, and herself.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for Romy calling in, Father God, for she knows the source of the strength, Father, that is there for her and her husband, Mark. Father God, we just pray right now for your hand to be upon their marriage. Father God, we just thank you for their covenant relationship, Father, that you have established, that the two of them become one flesh. Father, we just speak a blessing on them, Father God. We just speak financial blessings. We ask you, Father, that the seeds that they have sown would produce a harvest, Father. In the same year that Uriah sowed, he received a harvest. So let it be a quick seed. Let it be a quick harvest. There are times, Father, for those seeds to germinate. And so, Father, for those seeds also to come in. And Father, we're just asking you just to bless this family, to bless their home, to bless their marriage, Father God. We just plead about a Jesus around them to protect them, Father. If there's anything that the enemy has as a strategy, Father God, we just thank you today, Father God, that you give them the way out of it. Give them simple answers to complex problems. Father, we give honor and glory to you for her calling in. For again, as I said earlier, she knows the source. She knows where to turn. And, Father, there is hope in this family. We release hope. We speak a blessing on them. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Now, Dr. Judy, if you don't mind, or Janet, if you don't mind praying for this minister, her name is Opal Dalton. She is in the Smoky Mountains. She is having a women's conference February the 4th called God Knows I'm a Woman. So, would you pray for her women's conference?
Father, thank you so much that you have opened this door for this woman of God. Father, we call the women from the north, south, east, and west, and we just declare and decree that, Father, everyone that is supposed to be there, every woman that is supposed to be there will be at this conference, Lord God. I pray for the speakers. I pray, Lord God, your glory, your anointing. I pray an open heaven over this conference as they release your word, Father God, and the Spirit of God comes and flows in such a powerful way. Do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or think, Father. God, I just thank you and praise you for the finances. I thank you for the blessing that you will pour out of your Spirit upon those that go to this. Protect this woman of God. Protect all the arrangements, everything, all the details, God. I know because I've done conferences, I know, Father, how difficult it can be. I just praise you, Father, that you give her all the details. You cause arrangements to come together, alignment to be perfect, everything that she has need of and more, God, to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Let not one person miss this conference that you have ordained to be there. Your word says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and you delight in every step that we take. Now, those that are their footsteps have been ordered, they will not hesitate, they will not hinder, and the enemy will not keep them from this conference. We thank you that your glory will move. Your presence will be there in such a way. And God, your will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this conference, in Jesus' name, strengthen this woman of God. And Father, I thank you for your protection over her, her family, and all those that will be attending. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Now, Dr. Judy, I have one last prayer request, and then we can end the call. This lady is Cassandra Watkins. She is in Nashville, Tennessee. She actually served the Trump campaign here in Nashville, and God has blessed her with a trip to Washington. She flew in yesterday, and she's, you know, being able to go to some very important meetings, so she's very excited. Would y'all please, Miss Judy, pray for Cassandra Watkins?
Yes, and as we pray for her, we'll use her as a point of contact to pray for every person, male, female, family, political figures, ministers, intercessors that are attend this, that
yes,
there will be
yes.
a hedge of protection, but there will also be divine connections to continue. You know, we that people that are seeing this are seeing unity amongst believers that we're praying. We're praying for other people. We're praying for the nation. We're praying for Trump.
Yes.
And I think this is key. And what I am trusting God for is that I believe the Lord has spoken to me that this inauguration, this opening the gate to so many people, I've never heard of so many Christians and believers going to and excited with an expectancy of this inauguration.
Uh-huh.
We'll pray for this woman of God, and I believe that she's going to have some quantum appointments, that she's going to meet some people because she is there that she never would have met if she had not been there, that is going to continue to advance the call upon her life. And I
right.
just thank her and other people that have been there for pre-elect President Trump. Father God, we just come before you. And, Lord, I thank you for this precious woman. I am asking, Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around her. Lord, I know multiple intercessors. I know multiple ministries. We know multiple friends and family that will be at this inauguration in all the events prior to and afterwards. And so, Lord, we thank you. We're asking, Lord, you said when we would pray for Israel, Lord, we have a president getting ready, a man getting ready to take the office of the president of the United States that is for, has a love, has a passion to partner with Israel. And so, Lord, open the floodgates of heaven. We summons the angels, the warring angels, Michael's regiment, to be released.
Yes.
Not just over Washington, D.C., but be released over this nation during this transition of one person leaving an office and another one embracing the mandate, the call of destiny to make this nation. I say that it's not going to be, it is great because of what he has spoken and what I thank you, Lord, for a man that's willing to listen. Willing to listen to other people speaking into his advice, making political decisions, making spiritual decisions. I thank you, Lord, that there is a blanket, a cloud of God's glory that the heavens will open and that there will be no casualties, there will be no confusion, there will be no division, there will be no strife because a sower of discord. Lord, even get a hold of the media in this nation. Let it not be the Republicans against the Democrats or the Democrats against the Republicans. Lord, you fight this battle and you bring unity once again, that there will
yes.
not be prejudice. There will not be, Lord, deal with the hearts of protest. And Lord, I just believe that as Christians and men and women that are strong in their faith, that they will pray the effectual, fervent prayer, and, Lord, you will manifest yourself that will be so undeniable. Lord, I say there's going to be people in Washington, D.C. at this inauguration that don't know you that will be led to the Lord by somebody that's there. And so, Father, we thank you. And we're like, this prayer call is like George Washington today. We are making our appeal to heaven. And we say that we've got faith like a grain of mustard seed, according to your word in Matthew 17. We are saying and proclaiming that we've got faith, and we are speaking to this mountain, and we're telling every mountain that would come with opposition to challenge your will be cast in the sea. We are saying, Lord, that we will come together and trust and believe, that we will be attentive prayer warriors when they watch on TV, those of us that are not in a position to go to the inauguration, but that we will pray, and we will pray for families, and we will pray for friends, and we will pray for women like this, God, that are there on a godly assignment, and that you will not waver in answering our prayers, and that we will be able to say, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth in the United States of America, every earthen vessel that attends. Let there be an impact. Let there be a momentum that faith rises up in every heart that has felt so fearful. Lord, those that are doubting what President Trump said he was going to do, Lord, we just hit the delete button and we say we're not going to fear, we're not going to doubt, because that's the opposite of faith. Lord, the other day on the prayer call, I knew when I named some of those clergy that there were those that didn't agree with some of the names that I called out and probably said, well, why are they going? It doesn't matter, God. You have your way. You said the steps of a good man are ordained of the Lord. Ordain the steps of this nation. And let us not be so caught up, like in the beginning of this book. Let us not be so caught up in saying, it's got to happen my way, it's going to be this. No, let us continually have a posture of humility that we say, we surrender. Let your will take place. We plead the blood of Jesus over this nation, and we say that the churches are going to rise up and once again lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we say during this season, there is going to be a harvest and an awakening of revival from the streets to the White House, from the prostitution circles to every church in America.
Yeah.
Let compassion for a hurting, lost world rise up and let us trust you. That no one is left behind, in Jesus' name. God bless.
Yes, that is such a good prayer. Does anybody else have anything that they want to release? We don't have any callers this morning. Does anybody have anything else before we get off here?
Just continue to pray. And if you're, I have some unspoken prayer requests concerning a couple of people, and just if you would just pray that there's about four people that need a miracle, and they need instruction, and we want to bring them before the Lord, if you would. Thank you so much.
Yes, well, thank everybody for being on the call this morning. We will see y'all tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute. We just got a prayer request come in. This is on Facebook. This is a woman named Amy. She asked us to pray the other day for her family. So let's see what she's asking for now. Okay, please say a prayer for my mom. She started running a fever last night, and they do not know why. Her name is Diane. Steve, would you mind praying for Miss Diane?
Yes, we would. Father God, we just thank you right now for Miss Diane. Father God, we ask you right now that we know the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within her. So, Father, we're coming in agreement right now for this fever to leave her body. Father, we know that that your power is available to her right now. We know that by the stripes of Jesus, she is already healed. So, Father, we stand in agreement, Father, for healing virtue to be released upon her right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we just speak to the immune system. We speak right now for it to be strengthened, to rise up what has ever been weakness in it, Father God, that you would come in and undergird it, and you would strengthen her right now, Father God. We ask you to give her rest. We thank you for a quick recovery, and we thank you, Father God, for your hand being upon her life, and we give honor and glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, I want to share a quick story about what Dr. Judy said earlier about sowing a seed to reap what it is that we want. Miss Amy told y'all, thank you. When my mom was really sick, 7 times in the hospital with back pain, they told her, ma'am, don't come back, it's not physical. So the Lord gave me a dream, and he told me, he said, bring her to your house, which I was an hour away, bring her to your house and do a healing room, and he showed me strategy, exactly how to do it. So she had enough strength to get up there, and the Lord told me, because I was serving hospice, traveling all over my county, praying for people on their deathbed. So the Lord told me, he said, because you have sowed into the elderly in your city, when your mother comes here, I am going to have my people sow into her. So I will send the prophets, just get her up here. So she come up there, and she walked in. She's like, why did you do the room like this? I said, this is exactly how the Lord told me to do it. So I got on the floor, and I interceded for her. I told her the Lord's going to bring people to her mind that she needs to forgive. And while she's battling with this thing with the Lord, I'm going to be on the floor interceding in tongues. So I did, and she was there for like hours. It was a really amazing moment between me and my mother. When we finished that intercession time, when I come up off the floor, I looked at my mother. I was like, oh, my God, you look 30 years younger. Like, she looked so free. Do you know the next day God sent 7 prophets? I mean, prophets from everywhere, and they would just say, the Lord told me to come here and give a word to your mother. And they all told her the same thing, so she ended up leaving there healed because of the word of the Lord. But, Dr. Judy, that's exactly what you said. If you're wanting a healing, pray for other people to get healed. If you're wanting a financial miracle, sow seeds. If you're wanting clothes, give away some clothes. And whatever you're doing, if you need that, then sow it. Amen, Dr. Judy.
Oh, yes, amen, amen. Totally.
Okay, everybody. Y'all have a great day. God bless you.
God bless all you.
All right. Bye-bye.